Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman, and it is absolutely an honor to have a conversation today with two extraordinary human beings. Nina Meyerhoff and Domen Kosover are co-founders of the One Humanity Institute. Now, let me set the stage here for a moment, if you can. Imagine you're standing at the gates of Auschwitz, and you're wondering, how on earth could humanity ever have come to this? And how do we ensure that it never happens again? That was the brainchild of these two extraordinary people, to see how can we show the best of humanity alongside the worst of humanity? And it was their brainchild, and they are working tirelessly to bring this beautiful city of hope to our world so that we can see the best that we are capable of. So welcome to the show. I want to introduce Dr. Nina Meyerhoff, who is the president and founder of Children of the Earth, a renowned organization that awakens young people to their leadership capacity and the work that they can do. She's a visionary. She is the recipient of the Mother Teresa Award, to the Citizens Department of Peace Award, to the International Educators Award for Peace, as well as for, she has worked with the state of Vermont, where she lives in the United States, and her work is lifelong. Her co-founder is Domen Kosover, who has studied sociology and theology, and is the One Humanity Institute, and he can tell us more about that, is the work of his PhD and the thesis that he was working with. But he has worked tirelessly over the years to organize ways of helping people to find solutions to the challenges that we have. So welcome both of you to the show.
Thank you very much. We're happy to be here.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Either one of you can start with how is it that the One Humanity Institute began and what is happening now?
Oh, that's a very large question.
I know, dear. I'm sorry.
But what's interesting is you have two people here and they have a little different experiences and viewpoints, which is good for people to hear.
Yep,
so for me, the inspiration came after, you know, working with young people all around the world, always advocating for how we can find global solutions to all these issues and really make a difference and inspiring them to want to live in a way that's ethical. Came and was invited to Auschwitz with a small group of people to tour it, etc., and really had a dramatic impact on me as I found names of my relatives there and also my grandmother, who was deported and gassed and murdered on, it's been said, on the day I was born. So that's my story, and I came to there to realize that all the work that I've done in the world, it was to bring it there and to really foster a new concept, the concept that I've been working for lifelong, that peace is possible and humanity can understand its unity. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to turn it over to Domen, whose view is a little different, but it's relevant.
Please, welcome to the show, Domen.
Yes, so my base for it is, I would say, I started consciously seeing the world around me maybe 20 years ago, now a bit more, realizing that we're all connected, that there's no one out, or that we're all in or we're all out, but we're together. Mm-hmm. And of course, it started then first lessening the gap between this inner realization and then outer expression on my level. And of course, more and more then expanding it into how to find it and how to find my way of service to help humanity. I do believe that we are on the path of evolution, that we are not an end product, and I could see it, I would say, in the last five and more years so intensely, that we are coming to the possible overflowing, that we could really reach the minimum level of connectedness, that we would at least become enabled to hurt each other. Not too romantic, but I think that would be a lot, that we would just be unable to do any harm to each other, not just love everyone and so on. And in that very bursting moment, 5 years ago, I met Nina. We started looking, seeing, talking, and she's really embodied action for many more years than I am. And really non-dogmatic, not bound by philosophy, really bound by the heart and inner feeling and serving very much the youth, the younger generation, to inspire, to bring out what they have inside and put them on their path, whichever it is that connected to the bigger whole. And in this moment then it happened that we met together and started thinking, and I would say that was the starting seed. And Nina's visit before of the Auschwitz, and me then going there, visiting, seeing the present need, starting to touching this really most horrible expression of humanity ever. I do believe it is really the most concretized, most horrible expression of humanity. And then seeing the great need of so many people every year rising, going in, being touched, and how could we be of help to them to bring inspiration in everyday's life of everyone to do a world a bit better.
Well, yeah. Thank you for
very
that.
Good. So to tell you where we're at now, we've spent 5 years visiting and meeting different people and discussing the project. There is a piece of land across, adjacent from Auschwitz, that was the former SS barracks that we envisioned turning into a city of hope, a place where we would have turn the barracks into different facilities for learning and engagement of changing behavior. So the 2 million visitors that come to Auschwitz annually have the potential to walk across the street and come to this facility and experience what is it they can do to make the world a better place and to have gardens of reflection, etc. So where we're at now is we have a relationship to the local NGOs. We've been with the mayor. We've met with people in the national government. We've been to Israel and talked to people. We've been met this many survivors, and they've inspired us, and vice versa. We've been to California. We've been to the different museum, the Holocaust Museum. So we've done all the legwork, or much of the legwork that needs to be done, and we're now in this next phase of wanting to ground it.
So can you tell me what is the next step? How can people that are listening to this show, what can they do to help to support what you're doing? Obviously there's funding that's required, but I think what's so important is how do people begin to see how they change their own hearts? You know, yeah. as you're speaking about this, my own father-in-law, my late father-in-law, was one of the troops, the U.S. troops who liberated the concentration camps. So he literally walked in and carried people out that were still alive. And it just so touching to me because it forever changed him, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
But, you know, we just don't recognize how we need to, as Dolman used so beautifully said, you know, what we need to understand is we are a part of this living matrix of the earth. And what we do collectively either lowers our vibration or raises our vibration. And hopefully we raise our vibration to reestablish the connections that we really are one. We really are one.
Right. Yes. And so if you imagine 2 million visitors coming and passing through and being somehow moved by that experience of seeing Auschwitz, because it's historically set up exactly as it was. so that you have to experience something. And then offering people an opportunity to examine their own behavior and look at what is it that they want to alter and give them an opportunity to get involved. We're thinking of the framework of the Sustainable Development Goals of the UN and being able to identify projects within that so people can get involved. In terms of people becoming involved now, that's a really good question. And one of the things we were thinking about is our website and making it really available for all people to make suggestions about, and this phrase came from Doman, remember humanity. So, you know, the big phrase is never forget, and now it's remember, bring it back together, humanity. And we would like to have a place on the website for that. Doman wants to say something.
Because it is such a mixture of such a horrible past, and it's as always, and here probably the hardest, how to move forward when it's time, when it's how to be, look in the future but be respectful of the past, be respectful of more than a million violently people, murdered people, of course mostly Jewish and others that were there, and how to not forget that, how to not erase and minimize that, so that on one side that the objective history stays there, but on the other side can turn very fastly around and become the deepest, strongest, most power and inspiration for the future, because it cannot be anything less than that.
How do you think that we can help people? I have some friends that are Europeans that have lived in that vicinity, and that, you know, there is the generational trauma of the people who have this almost in cellular shame of how their family members that may or even be deceased, how they participated in this. So it's really, I think, so important that we understand, how do we begin to forgive, not to condone, but to forgive these kind of incredible tragedies, so that the legacy of shame is not forever burdening humanity, but instead to see how we can be better.
That's exactly the point. Mm-hmm. That is exactly the point. And we didn't see that or plan that, but soon when we start touching that, we saw that, of course, that's the biggest gift, if we can make a place that would host that, I don't know, trustfulness, acceptingness, that everyone could come with their own history. Is it personal? Is it family? Is it national history? Mm-hmm. And in the end, of course, the history of whole humanity, which can be seen very violent and we know what. And that you could come and you wouldn't be burdened by that, and you could share it freely, and you could cry with that. Sounding so romantically, but I think it's so important, because we're all wounded by the past.
We're all wounded by it, exactly. And how are you bringing together people that are trying to make a difference in terms of, you know, I can imagine just having, well, I can't really imagine, although in the United States we've had such tragedy with the Native American peoples. But how do we bless the land when the land has been so absorbing trauma? Because the earth is a living being, and to absorb all of that trauma, how do we help people then release when we change the vibration of the place? But I what came to my mind today was, oh my gosh, to have those physical structures there in your vicinity, literally in your backyard, how do you look at that every day? You know, whoever is living in that vicinity, and I would imagine that they would want to be eager to help to make that change, to change all of that energy, that memory, that sadness.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially for their young people, you know, many people in the town work at Auschwitz. You know, that's a major industry there for them. So imagine you carry that history on your back, and what you want for your children is something different. But it's not only them. You know, I've spoken with young people from Germany. They don't want to be responsible for what their grandfather did.
No.
You know,
no.
It's like that's the past. But it's not only about this place. It's about everywhere.
Everywhere in the world. That's right.
Yeah. So what we have to do is rise up and recognize that we are interconnected. We're one humanity, and we have a history, you know, that comes way back, you know,
yes.
Where we were one tribe.
That is for sure one helper. It's already going on in the world. Is really many more that could see that it is. One question from the beginning, it was for me, how to make a place that would have only one pressuring question. How is it possible that still today anyone is possible, able to harm each other directly, indirectly, very hiddenly? However, is it even possible that we can do that? And then, of course, turn it around into positiveness. So how can we solve that? And being so daring and demanding in those standpoints around the world, wherever you work, with whom you work, and so this is a challenge, because I love to say that problem is that the future in front of us is mostly connected, that we have to cut the branch, or at least some of them, that we're sitting on them. And I love Nina because she works so much with young ones and youth, because they're not sitting on the branches, and they can push us
yes.
off the branches, and if we allow them. And yes, and this place wants to embody place that would bring so many different together, but they would be daring to challenge even the things that look nice today and good today and are serving, but still in some way they are not pushing the limits that we should be pushing. Yeah.
Well, and again, my guests are Nina Meyerhoff and Domen Kosovar from the One Humanity Institute. So I wanted to make sure that people know. And they can go to the website. And can you tell us the website so that people can look at this beautiful, the images that you have and what it is you're planning?
It's onehumanity.institute.
Great.
I wanted to say, in terms of the land, what we found is, first of all, very interesting. The land we're looking at is not so haunted as Auschwitz itself, you know, that where the soldiers live. But on the other hand, we have a group of experts that have been working with us, 40 or so. And in addition, we've had some people that are eco-environmentalists that work with land and Mother Earth and care, and who have come there with us and really, you know, focused on that, making sure that the vibration is healthy for what we're doing.
Yes. And one of the things that I think is so important that both of you are doing is, and you in particular, Nina, with the longevity that you've worked with so many children across the world, is you're really teaching what does it mean to be a leader. You know, what does leadership really mean? And in terms of the indigenous world, you know, to be a leader is a pledge of integrity. It's not just a pledge of following an ideology, but it's personal integrity.
That's very beautifully said. And thank you for that compliment. Yeah, I mean, we feel we're building peace and sustainability into a credible form. What we want to do is make visible to the world that it is possible and show the different components of it. So one of the pieces that we're looking at is inviting other NGOs that have been striving for peace and sustainability so that we're all working together, so people really see that, you know, that it's a collaborative movement and that the time has come. We need to do this.
So can you tell me, has there been any groundbreaking? Is there anything that is physically in the works at this point?
Yeah, what's interesting is that a second generation survivor whose grandparents had a house in the town that was the bakery has now donated and loaned us that house for a headquarters.
Oh my gosh, how wonderful.
So we're landing slowly but surely. This is a much different process than we ever imagined, but we've learned a lot and we see it's mammoth. And with this big intention, there's also a lot of work to be done and a lot of resistance to move with and change and alter, you know, because we are working on the government level. It's not a little project where we do it on our own.
And regarding the house, yes, that was gifted to us, was it was a little meeting in Tel Aviv, and the man walked to us and said, I see, I have a vision for the past, for the present, and I want to give the house for the future. And when I see your project, that is for the future. And the place wants to be not just the headquarters. That's, I would say that's a side effect, but we want to make it as a
prototype.
As a prototype, yes, as a smaller model where young people, youth from the time could use it, could start working on the social innovation question. That could be a kind of a hub, a small think tank, of course, for the events, and of course, for international youth that are coming to visit Auschwitz. So it's meant to be a bridge between the present, the past, the different sides of the world, and so on.
Well, what is so interesting, Dolman, as you're saying that, is, you know, as you were speaking earlier about generational healing, you know, this gentleman having the hindsight, the insight, and the foresight to say, please use this place, because how would that heal that generation that was involved at one time, either intentionally or unintentionally, just peripherally, because people needed food? You know, how amazing how the connections start to come together.
Absolutely. The whole town is a wounded town. Of course, we're all wounded, but this is a very particularly wounded area. And they would like to go on. They would want to go on. And how to go on without forgetting and erasing the past and so on. And we do see it. And of course, with the collaboration of all sides, that it can become a big sandbox for the future of humanity. And of course, it could not be done with all the organizations that are there working, I would say, tirelessly from many sides for quite a few decades now. It's the International Youth Meeting Center, is the Center for Dialogue and Prayer, is the Jewish Center that recently opened a memory park at the space of the where the Grand Synagogue was placed. So they all prepared it, and many said the wound was too sour before, because there were some visionary, one particular guy that started Jewish centers, they said 15 years ago he was dreaming of something that you're dreaming. They said, but it was too early. But we do see that now on the world scale, we are able to do that because there's so many with such hearts.
And so we're seeing it as the United People's Home, like you have the United Nations. I mean, we're seeing it on that level, that it really will become a prototype for how humanity can be united.
And you know what comes to mind is there's so many other extensions, like how might it be possible for there to be a conversation with corporations that historically contributed to concentration camps, you know, those that provided the steel, those who provided the chemicals, those who provided, you know, so many things. How do we go? They're a part of it, whether they want to acknowledge it or not. You know, who are the companies that created the chemicals that were used in the gas chambers?
That's the recently, I think 2 years ago, was opened a museum in Erfurt, in the company that was producing crematoriums, which was open until almost 2000 or something. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a lot of heaviness on us, né? And we somehow could live it, but I do believe that it's time that we have to shake it off.
Yes.
So not forget, not to push it back, see it, but also not be blamed by it. Because
exactly,
when you understand the human nature, it's so naturally that we did what we did, how we did, in a way.
Right.
But
and how do we clean it all up? How do we brush it off with, not brush it off as to minimize it, but how do we release ourselves from the shame so that we can see each other as brothers and sisters globally? So we only have about a minute and a half left. So what is your dream for the future? Going in the next, this year, 2020, starting 2020, how can we begin to work together and make sure this happens?
I love the question. Yeah, I'm feeling like, yeah.
It's a start right now, right?
Right. It is the new decade, and we're looking forward to seeing all of this materialize, and that we've given our lives to this work for the sake of planting a seed. And I don't know. One step at a time.
Well, please let's stay in touch. It. Let's stay in touch as things are unfolding. And yes, I would love to have you both on the show. Yeah. And again, my guest has been Nina Meyerhoff and Domen Kosover, who are the brainchilds and the co-founders of the One Humanity Institute adjacent to Auschwitz, and to bring forth the best of humanity alongside what we know has been the worst of humanity. And how do we recover from that? How do we begin to see truly never again? And how do we bring about that kind of heart of humanity, our common heartbeat that is...
And to remember, this is not about being Jewish or not, and not about the Second World. It's about all of us.
Exactly.
And how do we become one?
Exactly.
To remember humanity.
Yes. Thank you both so much for your time. Thank you for what you're doing. And if I can help in any way, I'd love to. This is Elaine Grohman for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. You too can go out and change your mind and change your life by being the best human being you can possibly be. Thank you so much.